Well, is this a true statement? Can we say this? I didn't have enough time. We usually say, well, I just can't do that because I don't have enough time. Is this really accurate? Because the truth is, we all have the same amount of time, don't we? I mean, we actually do. We have 24 hours a day, 60 minutes in an hour. And as believers, we have this. We have these days to live for God. Now, we can say something like this. I can't do that because I'm choosing to use my time to do something else. And that's okay, too. And it's really, and I don't mean as bad. You can say, I don't have enough time. We know what you mean by that. Usually, you mean is, I've got other things I'm doing. I'm choosing to do other things, so I can't do that. But versus to say, I don't have enough time, we all have the same amount of time. Each one of us make decisions during our time. Well, how do we view the time that God has given to us? What should we be doing with the time that God has left for us on this earth? And Paul uses as a place in this passage, he has a point that he says, make the most of your time. Literally, redeem your time. And we'll talk about what that means because the word redeem means to purchase. He says, buy up your time. And we'll talk about what that means. He says, walk in wisdom and walk in light and walk in love. And he says, walk in wisdom, making the most of your time, knowing what the will of God is. And so this tonight, as we look at this passage this evening, we want to think about numbering our days. You know, it's kind of sad when you start thinking about your life. It goes by so fast, and the older you are, the faster it goes. And you know that. People who are young don't understand it. We tell people all the time, it's going by so fast, and they look at us and say, first grade lasted forever. Now, for some of us, first grade did last forever. I mean, you couldn't help it. You just couldn't get through it. But for a lot of us, it just seemed like it went so slow, and then the older you get, the faster it goes. Is that right? Who says yeah on that one? It's like a bullet. Young people go, I don't know what he's talking about. Right? You will. Number your days. You only have so much time, and it's going by so fast. It just seemed like it was summer. It's not going to be very long. It'll be Christmas. And you'll say, what happened to the fall? As we begin, let's remember where we are in our study. Beginning chapter 4, Paul charges the believers to walk worthy of the calling. In chapter 5, three ways to walk. Walk in light, walk in love, walk in wisdom. Last time we saw walking in love. We began looking at walking in light and that old idea of holiness this evening. We finish that part and get on into the walking in wisdom. Let's review what we've seen. Think about walking in love. Look back at verse 2. He says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Now, we've been seeing that he says, walk worthy of the calling which we've called. Did we do the outline yet? Or no, we didn't got to that yet. Yeah, you don't have to put that up there right now if you don't want to. But you can put it up if you want to. I don't care. As long as they're listening to me, I don't care what they're seeing up here, but that's okay. You're having a lot of fun with that, aren't you? I know. Not really. Let's go back to verse 2. Look what he says. He says, and walk in love just as Christ loved you. Now, we said that the whole thing sort of started in chapter 4 where he says, walk worthy of the calling. And the word Greek word peripatao means to walk around. It means to move around. But it was the word used for lifestyle. So he says, live your lifestyle. He says, live your lifestyle worthy of who you are. When we get to chapter 5, he says, walk in love. Live in love. Live a life characterized by love. This is the Christian life. That is the key. In fact, the Bible actually says they know you belong to Jesus by how? By your love one for another. That's one of the keys. He gave us the perfect example of love. God so loved the world that he offered his only begotten Son. Jesus came and died for us. And this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Over and over we see love. And so he says, here's the great thing. Walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us. Now that's the key of that whole thing. And so the very first thing that we do as we seek to make an impact for Christ, and we saw in chapter 4 all those little areas, four big areas that we really need to train ourselves in godliness. Now he says, now, walk in love. And I tell you, if you want to be different than the rest of the world, you just love people. I mean, go ahead and choose to love them. Make a decision right now because they're not lovely. We're not. We're fallen people. You have to choose to love people. You have to choose to love them and say, I'm going to love them. I'm going to look out for them because God loved me and gave himself up for me. I'm going to choose to love people. And that's when you begin to see an impact in your life on how you're touching lives for Christ, because that's what he did. He loved everybody. And he loves us. And he says, now you do the same thing. You walk in love just as Christ also loved you. from that, he then moved to walk in light, which is living the holy lifestyle. And he did two things. He started for a while. First of all, he started like verses 3, 4, 5, 6 and all that. And he just says in a negative way, he says, don't do this. Don't live like this. Then he gets to the positive a little bit later, walk in light, which is down in basically verse 8. But look at verses 3 and 4. He starts off by saying, don't live like this. He says, but immorality and impurity or greed, don't let it be named among you. Let there be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting. He says, don't let that be a part of your life. And it's easy to do that because we know that most humor today is based off that sort of thing. Especially when you turn on the television, the whole aspect of that kind of humor is coarse jesting and silly talk and oftentimes filthiness. It's okay to laugh. A lot of things are funny. A lot of things are good funny. But then there are a lot of things that are bad funny. And this is what he's saying. So he says, don't let that be named among you. Don't let that, but give thanks. And then down in verse 7, he says, a great point. He says, do not be partakers with them. Don't live that way. Now, who is he talking about? I want you to understand, he's talking about believers. His whole concept is to believers. He's saying, look, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Don't let immorality and impurity be named among you. It can't be that way. Don't let this come out of you. This is not the way we're to live. Do not be partakers with them. And then in verse 8, that was verse 7. Then in verse 8, he actually gets to the positive. He says, you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. We saw verse 2, walk in love. Verse 8, walk in light. And when he says walk as children of light, he says let your life be described as a life of godliness. And we're going to see that this evening as we continue. He moves on and we want to see. He says don't have a part in his sinful deeds. He finishes with walking with the wise. Let me give you the outline of this little section right here. Passage breaks down this way. Walk in the light. We continues in this. He gives the negative. Don't have a part with that sinfulness, but expose it. Live in the light. That's verses 11 through 14. Then we get to 15, 16, and 17. He then adds the third one. Walk in wisdom. Making the most of our time doing God's will. There's some powerful stuff there and we'll see it as we go through. Well, let's go back. Look again at verse 7. He says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. He's saying, don't live as the people with sin in their lives. Don't live that way. Don't be partakers with them. And then I said last week that actually verses 8 and 10 go together, and verse 9 is a parenthesis. It's much better to study it by going 8 to 10. Notice, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's verses 8 and 10 together. They go together in the original language. There's a parenthesis there with verse 9. He says, listen, walk in the light. Learn what pleases God. Do what's right. I think the challenge to every one of us in this room, and we've talked about it over and over, and if you go to the book of Ephesians, just taking this book, we've seen all the way through that the challenge is for to live out who we are. We are children of God. We've got all those blessings that we saw in chapters 1, 2, and 3. We've been raised up and seated in heavenly places. We've got all the spiritual blessings. We've got salvation by grace through faith. We've got all these things. So therefore, then start living the way we should. And you know, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. Most of the time we think about the church at Ephesus, we say, oh, they were good. They were good. They weren't like the Corinthians. They weren't messed up like the Galatians. They weren't confused like the people at Colossae. And yet the church at Ephesians or Ephesus had some problems. And you know what obviously was happening? That many of those who believed in Jesus Christ were living bad lives. We're living in darkness. We're living with sin. And he's saying, you don't do that. Don't do that. Don't let immorality and impurity be named among you. Don't have that coarse jesting and filthy talk. Let nobody deceive you. Don't be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of light, trying to learn what pleases the Lord. Then, verse 9 is a parenthesis, because verse 9, he describes what it means to be children of light. Notice what he says, for the fruit of the light consists in goodness, all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We've got one right here that tells us the fruit of the light. And notice he didn't say the fruit of the Spirit. He said, the fruit of the light. Here's what comes out of your life when you are living in the light, when you are walking righteously and godly. He says, there's goodness comes out, there's righteousness, and there's truth. Notice the big three. The fruit of the light consists in goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness means doing good, same as in Galatians 6:10. Righteousness has the idea of godly and pure. That's how we live righteously in this present age. And truth goes back to integrity. John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so as we look at this, we'll see how these things fit together. And he says, listen, what you should do is walk as children of light. Are our lives characterized by goodness and righteousness and truth? Now, we talked last time, it is very, very easy not to live in truth. It's very easy to lie. It's very easy not to tell the truth. It's very easy to not do good things. It's very easy to not live a pure, godly life. We have the flesh. It's a natural bent to sin. If we listen to the flesh, we'll do wrong. If we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there'll be the fruit of the light coming out as we walk in the light. Now from this is where we ended last time, basically. Now as we start verse 11, 12, 13, and 14, he continues on dealing with living in the light and walking in the light, but he gives the negative. He says, don't do this. Look at verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now he's saying, don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We'd say it this way, don't be partners with those who are doing things that are wrong. He says, don't do the same thing. Don't do the evil things. Don't do the sinful things. So often we forget believers can do evil things. Galatians 5, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, contrary one to another, so that we may not do the things we should. We know that the heart is deceitful and wicked. We can sin very easily. I mean, most of us, aren't we pretty good at sinning? I mean, I sin really easy. I mean, it is like a slippery slope. Why? Because that's natural for me. It's natural for you. If you're going to live godly, you've got to choose to live godly. If you're going to do what's right, you've got to choose to do what's right. You've got to walk in the Spirit so you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You've got to choose to walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. You have to make choices. That's the only way it's going to happen for us. If we drift through the Christian life, we'll do what's natural, and that's sin. And so he says, don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Don't do that. Don't be involved in that. Now, when he says the unfruitful deeds of darkness, he's really saying, in fact, I think he's saying it in a nice way because it means unproductive. The deeds of the flesh are never called fruitful. They're called unproductive. See, when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. But the flesh is always called the deeds of the flesh. And in this passage, he calls it the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Remember what he said? You were formerly darkness. Can we who were formerly darkness live in darkness? Can we? If we couldn't, why would he have to tell, how would John tell us in 1 John, walk in the light as he's in the light? If he has to tell you to walk in the light, you could also be walking in what? Darkness. How do you walk in the darkness? Live by the what? Live by the flesh. Don't do what the Bible says. He says you were formerly darkness, but what you do is don't participate in the unfruitful deeds. Listen, darkness is the fallen world. Listen to this. Philip Myers, in his book, Rome, Its Rise and Fall, made this observation on the Romans, and here's what he said. He says, immorality was the main agencies to which could be attributed to the undermining of the Roman society. So absorbed did the people become in the indecent acts that they lost all thoughts and cares of the affairs of real life. They just wanted to fulfill the lust of the flesh. This describes our world. This describes what it's like that pulls on us all of the time. Our culture says, you deserve this. You deserve it. What do you deserve? Death. I mean, from a whole Christian perspective, we don't deserve anything. We say, please give us your grace and not what we deserve. Because what we deserve is separation. We don't deserve anything. Our whole culture is telling us what we need and what we want and what we should have. As believers, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's different. Do not do the unproductive deeds of darkness. So often we end up doing the deeds of darkness. Now, when he says, do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, he's not talking about don't go out and live bad with the unbelieving world. He's saying don't do what there's believers in the book, in the church at Ephesus who are doing these things. He says don't do this. Don't participate in this. And then he says, but instead, even expose them. Now, sometimes people take this passage and they say, we as Christians are to go into our community and we're to expose all the sinful things that we can find. This passage is not talking about us going into the sinful community. It's talking about exposing the sinful deeds in the body. See, at verse 3, he says, but immorality and impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper saints. When he says in verse 11, expose them, he's talking about believers. Paul says the Corinthians, Paul says in Corinth, he says he talked about them dealing with sin in their lives. In Ephesians, he's telling these believers to deal with the sin. See, as believers, we deal with sin in the body. God is the one who deals with sin in the world. Now, that doesn't mean we just ignore sin. I mean, if there's a way we want to deal with things that are wrong and we want to stop harmful things that hurt our families, hurt our children, hurt our lives, and hurt our community. But the real issue for us is not our stand against some store we don't like or some movie we don't like. See, when you relate to the unbelieving world, do you want to be known as the one who's against the movie? Or do you want to be known as the one who proclaims Jesus Christ? See, our problem in the community of saints is we've been made known in the world as the ones who are against all the stuff instead of being known as the ones who proclaim Christ as Savior. That's our problem right now. We're all fighting everything. Everybody's saying, oh, they're against this, and these Christians are against this, and these Christians are against this. What we ought to be known for is what we are for, and that is Jesus Christ. Now in the body, he says, don't participate in these unfruitful deeds, but you expose them. How do you expose it? The Word of God is the authority. The Word of God is the key to dealing with sin and darkness within the body. The Word of God shows what's right, shows what's wrong, shows how to get right. You remember 2 Timothy 3:16? It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for instruction, for our what? Reproof. For correction and for training. He says the Word of God shows you where you're wrong, shows you how to get right, and shows you how to stay right. That's the Word of God being used in believers' lives. So he's pretty powerful here. He's saying, listen, you expose sin within the body. And that's what you're supposed to do. Sin should not be dealt with. I mean, should be dealt with in the body. Should not be overlooked in the body. That was one of the things wrong with the Corinthian church. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights. And when you come there, we're talking about the fact that Paul writes to these believers because they got so much sin in the body and they haven't even dealt with it. It's pretty powerful. He goes on to show how we must look at evil and sin within the body of believers. Notice what he says. It is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Now, I would say this, and I think this is true, that probably all of us would feel embarrassed and it would be disgraceful if we had to come up here and say some of the things we've done and maybe are doing. He says it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. We do it in secret. There are things that go on in the body, he says, that we shouldn't be there. When we sin, we want to be in darkness. John said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He says, bring them to light. Expose them. Notice how he does this. When we proclaim the truth of God's Word, the light of the Word of God, when we walk in light and our lifestyles and the truths and the principles of the Word of God, it will expose sin and evil in the body. When you are living righteously and godly, basing your life on the Word of God, living godly, it will expose sin within the body. Look what he goes on to say. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. He says when it's exposed by the light, it becomes visible. The light is the light of God's Word. When we live by the Scripture, living out the rights and the rights of the Scripture, the right things, that we live that way, it exposes sin. That's why 2 Timothy says, reproof which shows wrong by the light of the world. By the light of the Word. That's why you are called lights in this world. That's why we're to live righteously and godly in this present age. That's why he says, do all things without grumbling and complaining, so prove yourself to be innocent and blameless, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in this world. Not only do we touch this world by living righteously and godly, we touch the local church when we live righteously and godly. That's what he's talking about in this passage. John MacArthur said this. He says, when we're seeing helping others and not exploiting them, when we're talking in purity rather than profanity, when we're being truthful and not lying, this is the lifestyle that exposes and brings to light the evil of the world. He says, everything that becomes visible is light. That means it's seen for what it is. There are believers who do not want to call sin sin. They want to say, well, it may be a mistake, or this may not be exactly the best thing. Paul's very strong to the Ephesians, and he says, you better walk in the light. And he says, don't participate in these unfruitful deeds. You expose them. It's disgraceful on some of the things that are done. But all things become visible when exposed by the light, the Word of God. As I said a while ago, in this context, he's talking about sin within the body of Christ. A lot of times people read this verse and they take the verse 11 out and say, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but indeed rather expose them. And so they want to go to all the places in this community that are sinful and evil, the gambling, the pornography, and all of that. And they say, our role in life is to expose that. It's to expose it within the body. Our issue in this world is Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that some of these things aren't wrong, and if you can deal with some of them, fine. But your real issue that you want to be known for in this community is not you're against gambling. Your issue is that you're for Jesus Christ. And you may be against gambling, but your issue is that you love Jesus Christ and you want people to know about Him. Then he says, it's time to wake up. Notice the next verse. Actually, as we get to that verse, he says, don't do this, don't be like them, walk in the light, do all of this. And he says, for this reason, it says, and we're not sure what the quotation is. You can tell it's an Old Testament quote. You know, I can't tell what it is. It could be Isaiah 26, it could be Isaiah 61, because some of those are very similar. But here's what he says, for this reason, it says, arise, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And then when he says sleeper, he's saying dull one. Sometimes we become dull to sin in our lives. Sometimes we become dull to sin in our body. Sometimes we just go through life and we become dull. And he says, wake up, arise, sleeper. Wake up, dull one. Arise from the dead. He's saying you're living like one who's living dead in this world instead of alive in Christ. He says, wake up and Christ will shine on you. And the word shine on you is the idea that he's going to reflect his light through you. And that's what he does. He says, live, wake up and live righteously and reflect the light of your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he says, and the light and Christ will shine on you and you reflect his light. We are the mirrors reflecting the Son of God in a world full of darkness. So walk in love and walk in light. But he's not through. He's got one more area, and that is walk in wisdom. Several areas we think about when we think about wisdom. First is, what is wisdom? And what about our time? Because he mentions it in there. And then he says, what about knowing God's will? Because the end of the passage says, and know what the will of the Lord is. So we want to think about those three questions on what is light and, I mean, what is wisdom and about our time and all of that. Verse 15 says, therefore be careful how you walk, how you live, not as unwise men, but wise. So he starts off by saying, don't be unwise, be wise. Walk in wisdom. Live right. Live as a wise person. So here's the question. What is wisdom? Realize we're talking about God's wisdom here. We're not talking about world's wisdom. There is a wisdom of the world. Now listen to this. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. So we're not, when he says walk in wisdom, he's not talking about be wise in the world. He's talking about be wise in the Word. See, the world says everything's temporal, and we say, no, it's eternal. And the world says the key to the world is possessions and authority, and we say, no, the key is relationships and service. Where does godly wisdom come from? It comes from God, doesn't it? James 3, it comes from above. What is God's wisdom? You know what wisdom is? It's knowing applying the Word. It's truths from God's Word that are lived out. Wisdom comes as we know the Word of God and then live out these truths and principles in our lives. Let me read some things to you. If you want to write these verses down, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Listen to this. Proverbs 2. This is Proverbs 2. Listen to what it says. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your hearts to understanding. Now he says, be wise, listen to it. And then he says, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will know the fear of the Lord and you will discover the knowledge of God. Now let me ask you something. Where do you get wisdom? Where are you going to get it? Huh? That's exactly it. You search it. And listen to what he goes on to say in Proverbs 2, 6 and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. See, you go to the Word of God to get wisdom. And then you live it out in your life. We walk in wisdom as we apply the Word. And he says, so therefore, be careful how you live. Not as unwise people, but wise people. Unwise people live according to the wisdom of the world. Wise people live according to the wisdom of the Word. It's that simple. So now he describes this wise person, and he deals with our time. And so that's the second question. That is, what about our time? Notice what he says. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but wise men, making the most of your time. Now, I think for all of us in this room, we would all say that we don't really make the most of our time. There's so many things so much time in a sense that we waste. He says, make the most of your time. Literally, redeem the time. Buy up the time. You only have so much time. We have been given by God this very day. And that's all you have. Right now, that's all you have. You don't know if you got tomorrow or not. You don't know. Probably will. But you don't know. And we got to make the most of the time. We got to buy up the time. We got to use it wisely. The time, the opportunities that we have. There is nothing by chance. You are not here on this earth by chance. You are here on this earth at this time for such a time as this. This is where God has you. If in all the plan of eternity, He has you right now alive in this place and this time. Just think about that. No coincidences. Make the most of our time and our opportunities. Why are we here? We're to share Jesus Christ and to build up others and to train and equip. How are you using your life? Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our what? What does it say? Days. You notice he didn't say teach us to number our years. He just says days because you don't know what you got. Listen to this poem I found. Just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. It's true. You can't stop the minutes. Hold on. Give me a break. Just stop for a minute. Let me rest for a minute, and then we'll start the next time. It doesn't work that way. There is no time out in life. Right? The time just goes on. Use it wisely. You do not know how long you have. Let me say something, that you are never too young and you're never too old to serve God. You're never too young. When David fought Goliath, how old do we think he was? Maybe as young as 12, 13, or 14. Never too young. Daniel was taken off into captivity. He was a very young man when he stood for God. You're never too young to serve God, and you are never too old to serve God. Abraham was probably 75 years old when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. Most people 75 say, I think I've just about done the whole thing. No, he's just now starting. Caleb was old, and he said, give me the mountain. I want to go fight on him. I want the hard one. They said, okay, you can have the hard one. Make the most of your days. You know why? Because the days are evil. We live in a fallen world. We must use the time that we have to make a difference for Christ. This is all we have. This is the time. We mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, and we said this, that we're going to spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. And the basis for our rewards and the basis for our place of service for all eternity goes back to this particular time that you have now to serve God. How you serve God now will determine your service for all eternity with Jesus Christ. Make the most of your days. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. You live in a fallen world. And then he says this. So then do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. He said, don't be foolish. Prof. Henderson at Dallas Seminary used to say, most people plan to fail because they failed to plan. We all know that's a little stain. Most people, as Prof. Henderson used to say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. It's exactly what you'll get, nothing. What are you doing with your life? What's your dreams, your plans, your goals? And when I say that, I mean in the godly perspective. What do you want God to do with your life? What have you told Him? Say, Lord, use me. Take my life. Use me to do this. Use me to do that. Lord, I'll go anywhere. Whatever you want me to do. So he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that takes us to the third one, knowing God's will. How do we know God's will? So people get so uptight on God's will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, which is acceptable to God. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. How do you know God's will? You go to God's Word. You renew your mind by putting the Word of God in your mind. And he says, so don't be foolish. Know what the will of God is. The will of God is that you live wisely, that you walk in love, you walk in light, and you walk in wisdom. That's the will of God for your life. There's no doubt about it. In fact, as Ephesians 5 says, walk in wisdom, 1 Thessalonians talks about know what the will of God is, which is your sanctification. 2 Peter says, trust God in the trials. That's the will of God for your life. We go to the Word to know God's will. And so we see three charges in this little passage. Walk worthy of our calling as we walk in love. Loving people just as Christ loved us. We walk in light. Don't be like the world, but be children of light. And don't do the evil, but expose the evil. Wake up. And then walk in wisdom. Make the most of your days. Redeem the time that you have, knowing this is God's will for your life. This last one gets me because the days are going by too fast. They're way too fast for me. Wouldn't you like to slow them down a little bit? Just a little bit? It goes by so fast, before you know it, it will be over. And what will you have done with your time? Will you have numbered your days? Would you have walked in love and walked in light and walked in wisdom? Would you know that the days are evil, making the most of the time that God has given you? That's all we have. And one day you'll be with Him, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. You're going to be with Him for all eternity. And you'd like to say, I'd like to go back and get some more time back down there so it could pay off up here. And He said, your time is up. Our application, let's walk in the light. Let's walk as God's children. Let's live as God's children. Let's walk in the light as He's in the light. He says in the negative and the positive, don't be like the unbelievers. Don't live in this fruitful darkness stuff and everything, this unfruitful deeds of darkness. But He says, but live in righteousness and light and goodness. Do that. So walk as children of light. A, don't have a part in the unfruitful deeds. Don't have a part with sin in the body. Is there sin in your life that you need to deal with? B, expose sinful deeds within the body. That's got to happen. That's a hard thing. That's Matthew 18. None of us like that part, but that's what it says do when the time comes. Number two, let's walk in wisdom. Let's live wisely. A, wisdom comes from God. You got to know the Word of God. You want to be wise? You want to be a wise person? Not a wise guy, but you want to be a wise person? You have to know the Word of God. You have to study it. You have to make application in your life, because that's what wisdom is. B, make the most of our time. Make our life count. I like this quote from General Eisenhower. He said this. He said, the urgent is seldom important, and the important is seldom urgent. Now think about it. I'm going to read it again. Eisenhower said, the urgent is seldom important, and the important is seldom urgent. Too often life is controlled by the tyranny of the urgent. We put aside higher and more worthy goals to put out the little fires. Let's evaluate the importance of all our daily activities to be sure we're not victims of the tyranny of the urgent. See, the important things don't pull on us all the time. They're just there. And the nitpicky things are always pulling on us. We're going, I got to go do this, when this is so much more important with our time. Use your time for eternal things. Tim Hansel, in a book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. You ever feel that way? Probably not. But he said, when I relax, I feel guilty. And then he wrote this. He says, I read a thought-provoking article entitled, If You're 35, You Have 500 Days to Live. Now just stop for a second. Some of you are younger than 35, and some of us are older than 35. He says, if you're 35 years old, you have about 500 days left. We go, what? He says, well, his thesis was this: when you subtract the time spent sleeping, working, tended to personal matters like hygiene and odd chores and medical matters and eating and traveling and miscellaneous time stealers. In the next 36 years, you'll have roughly equivalent to 500 days to spend as you wish. Then he goes on and quotes, no wonder the psalmist advised, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. How are you using the time God has given you? Not a lot of days left. And you know what's amazing? Since we know Jesus could come any second, he could come right now and it's all over. You may not ever die physically. He could come right now and be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. And you say, well, I wasn't finished. I didn't do the things I wanted to do. I was tied up in that other stuff. Like cutting grass, things like that. What are we to do? Invest in others. Know and apply the Word of God. Use our gifts, talents, and abilities to serve. Realize that God will use our lives. And God's will for our lives is to use wisely the time that we have, walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom, making the most of our time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord. And it challenges us, Lord. We know that you've told us to walk in love and to love people just as you loved us, and to walk in light, to be righteous and godly, and to live goodness and righteousness and truth, and not to do the evil deeds. In fact, even to expose them, and it becomes visible when we live righteously and godly. And then finally, Lord, be careful how we live, not as unwise, but wise people, walking in wisdom, making the most of the time, redeeming the days. We know that we just don't have that much time left. The days are evil. We want to understand what your will is for us. We want to live righteously and godly now. Lord, I pray for us in this room that we will walk in love and love people just as you loved us. That we'll walk in light, that we'll live righteously and godly right now, that we'll live in truth and goodness and righteousness. And we'll expose the evil deeds as we live righteously. And then finally, Lord, we'll walk in wisdom, making the most of the time, redeeming the days, numbering our days, knowing that you have put us here on this earth for such a time as this. And that we will make the most of our time, knowing that the days are evil, not being foolish, but understanding what your will is for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.